have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. And I thank you, Lord, for each head that's represented. Lord, we miss those that aren't here this morning, and I pray, Father, for your presence. Please just find the service acceptable in your sight, the lifting up of our prayers. Lord, I pray that you would grant them according to your will, especially for our private or unspoken prayer requests. You know what they are. Look after our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be, and help us, I pray, this morning, as we spend this time around your word. I love you and thank you. Pray this, and Lord, there's so many other things we've lifted up and for your attention, Lord. I pray that you would just grant them all according to your will. I love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Just give me a second. We'll be singing number 3. Hit the wrong button. My apologies. That was just Ling saying she's on her way. Hymn number 3, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And if you feel like singing the desk camp, like I'm sure there was a couple of kids did in your school, you just go right ahead. Forward a page or two to number 11. Number 11 is immortal, invisible God, only wise, and if you're fit, we'll stand as we sing.
Immortal, invisible, God, only wise.
This morning's reading is from Isaiah chapter 33. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoils shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. As a running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceases. He hath broken the covenant, despised the cities, he regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth, Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I rise, saith the Lord, now will I be exalted, now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff, ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burning of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners of Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that waketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions and shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the nations of the rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, and they shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall mediate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counteth the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our Solomon. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, Jerusalem a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be upon us, place of broad rivers and streams wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ships pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Thy tacklings are loosed, they could not dwell, strengthen their mass, they could not spread the seal. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided, the lame take the prey, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. People that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Amen.
Amen. Good verses. Well worth a consideration. Thank you, Norman and Steve, for that joint effort there. Just want to remind you all this morning about green. The green prayer list. If you put it beside my tie, it's almost like Christmassy colours, green and red. But there you go. I would like to draw your attention to just a few things. First of all, please do continue to pray for Christy and Mark. They got robbed on the beach in Mexico. A member of staff lifted a couple of t-shirts and a pair of shoes and a pair of prescription sunglasses, and they followed him back to the hotel where he worked, and they were stonewalled. They were put off and never got their stuff back. So please do continue to pray for them. They're having an educational time in Mexico. It would make you not wonder why the folks near the south of the border in America don't want a lot of people coming in from Mexico. That's a very bad advertisement for a country. Please do pray for them. Please do pray for Taylor and her family as well. That's Terry and Lisa, that's her mom and dad, and all the preparations that they're going through for this wedding. I feel really bad for them at the moment that none of us can be there, but please do pray for them. Miss Frank as well this morning, I'm sure his mommy and daddy do too, so pray for Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank over in London. Is there anything else we can think of that we need to be...
Jessica.
Yes, do continue to pray for Jessica. She is looking at months of treatment for her burns. Third degree is right down to the muscle. I think she didn't get third degree burns, but she got second degree burns. So months before she'll be able to, I'm sure, take the dressings off, and 2 years before she's allowed out in the sun again. Take her that long to recover, for her skin to recover. So please do pray about that. Do pray for, just take time to have a look through the prayer list and pray for it. We'd appreciate prayers for Monica's mom, Pat, while she waits for an ablation on the arteries in her heart. She got a treatment there not too long, just a couple of days ago, to reset the rhythm on her heart. And as long as that stays good, they'll be able to do the... It's not open heart surgery. I think they go in through a vein or an artery, and they do a merry dance through her circulatory system until they come to the things in her heart, and then they treat that. So we'd appreciate your prayers for that. And for my dad too, his blood pressure's been acting up again. Specifically for the purchase of the land, and there are a few bits and pieces of work to be done around Bethel too. The folks in the street, the folks that get the CDs, the folks that listen to them online, for Stan and Karen and the folks up in Bangor, please do pray for them as well as for our missions outreaches. We don't mention them very often. They're still going on. I'm sure, like everything, things are running at a very low profile, so please do remember that. Most importantly, our countries certainly need a lot of prayer. There's a lot of devilment going on in the world. The Lord is not able to work. He is able to work in the world, and will do where people are willing to stand up and let him work through their lives. So please do pray for Britain and America and Northern Ireland, and goodness, you just start going. America, China, New Zealand, Australia, Russia, Korea. There's not one country in the world doesn't need a little bit of prayer. But please do pray for a strong leader for this country. We certainly need it. Private prayer requests. If everybody doesn't have a private prayer request, just let me know. If your name is there and you're happy for it to be there, you don't have to let me know. If you don't have any private prayer requests, or you don't require prayer, just ask and we'll remove your name. That's sort of like tick this box to opt out, that you see an awful lot of when you should have to tick it to opt in. I think that's about that. Anything else that we need to be thinking on? No? All good.
Steve's, or Pat's sister.
Yes, with that thing on her foot and her health. I think she is on there somewhere. She's either on... Yeah, so please do. Yep, don't forget that either. Don't forget Steve's granddaughter. She has health problems as well. Louise. There's a lot going on, a lot to be prayed for. And we'll have a wee word of prayer. If you're okay to lead us, well, you could pray for us.
Father,
thank
you, Lord. Thank you for the safety and security for your presence today, Lord. We offer a number, because he's never had this represented, or his family's represented, and every head, every person that's here today, both in our church and Lord, and also Church of the Peace of Christ and Christ crucified, and Christ's power and the cross, he died to save us from our sins. For the churches, for the outreaches throughout the world, Lord, bless them and keep them, all the pastors and the ministers and the missionaries, Lord, clear from the loss of the Lord, and give us and them a touch of the Spirit today that we know more about thy word, Lord, and more about thy presence, Lord, and more about thy power and thy person, Lord. Bless the people that are not here, Lord. But Frank, Lord, bless him in his London. Thank you for his prayer that he touched down in London last week, Lord. Safety and security, Lord. Pray for him also, Lord. Provide for him, draw near to him, Lord, and bless him, keep him as he stories and pray for him, and pray for him as well. Pray for the McMahon family, save him, Lord, save John, Carl, and Stephen, Lord, and bring him up to church at the point of time, Lord, and bless him and keep him as well, Lord. Refresh our condition, our legs, lymphoma, or everything that it could be possibly wrong with her, Lord, may heal her, Lord. And you just offer and give her some respite and keep her safe and well. And bring her up to church next upon the time. With Stephen Pat, Lord, bless him, keep him grateful for the diabetes, Lord. Provide for him, Lord, deliver him from any anguish, give him rest of life, give him respite, and give him relief from pain or suffering or discomfort or fear or whatever, Lord. Provide for him as well, Lord. And grief with anybody else, Lord, as well, Lord, that we may not think of good for them, but Lord, also, Lord, Pearl Harrington, bless him and keep him, Lord. And Lord, Mr. Harrington, spiritually, physically, and mentally, and psychologically as well, Lord. Be with us in the church today, Lord. We have one for number, Lord, and draw us closer to thee for thy honour, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Right, let's take our hymn books this time, the big ones. And we will turn to, if I can just find it here, hymn number 226. 226, I find it for it. Miss a verse there. We'll do an intro and we'll sing the last verse. 1, 2. Last verse.
I find a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death or earth or hell? No, I am his forever.
Amen, we got there. Amen. Right, let's turn to 448 and we'll stand and sing, Brethren, We've Met to Worship Him. And then we will open our Bibles. 448 in the big books. Seated, thank you very much. And put your hymn books away for a little bit, and if you're able, take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 4 with me. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and I would like to read about a dozen verses from verse number 43. John chapter 4, and I want to spend a few minutes this morning on the subject of miracles. miracles. John chapter 4, verse number 43. It's good to see you here. It's unusual that the most people would be at a church service on a Sunday evening in this day and age, but that seems to be where most folks are in Bethel right now. And we're glad to have folks here at any time. It's very lonely without you. We had to do that for 3 or 4 months, and we're not big fans of it. It's always nice to have a bit of company and a bit of fellowship, and that's why the Lord said as much in his word. Alright, John chapter 4 and verse number 43. Now, after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, where Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honour in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus saith unto him, or then said Jesus unto him, my apologies, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus saith unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Men, in case you were wondering, verse number 48 is our text, where the Lord said to the people, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning on the subject of miracles. Amen. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. And I pray for your good hand upon us all this morning, Lord, though we're few in number. We love you. We want to hear from you. And we want, Lord, to want you to strengthen our faith and open our understanding, please. Pray for the words to speak, and not just for ourselves, Lord, but for our brothers and sisters right the way across the world. You know, there's some countries where it's illegal to meet, and it's a shame to us, Lord, that that's just across the border. That's literally less than 5 miles away as the crow flies. We live beside a country where it's illegal for churches to be open. I pray you, Lord, for a great quickening and awakening of the people. I pray you, Lord, for power, for Holy Ghost power. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would save souls at this time. Lord, that you would edify the saints and proof those against being deceived by the lies and the tricks of the devil. Set a wall around about us. Look after Brother Stan and the folks up in Bangor as they preach. Brother Bissett, Brother Seeley, Brother Asquith, Brother Hain, Lord, Brother Fox, Brother Cosgrave, and the many, many others that love you and want souls to be saved and saved souls to be made bolder and wiser, Lord. We just thank you for all of this. Pray your good hand upon us. Be one of our number, I pray you, Lord. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. John chapter 4, if you can recall to mind, is famous for the account of the woman at the well, where a woman that has been married 5 times and is living with a man after ditching her last husband is on her own getting water, and the Lord goes to meet her. In fact, it says very pointedly that he had to go through this neck of the woods simply to reach out to her, and using her to reach out to the men that she had known, and using them to reach out to the whole of the land around and about.
And the Samaritans, they wanted him to stay. Can you imagine a people that were traditionally against the Jews, that the Jews didn't have anything to do with them, hence you know the old story about the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritans pretty much had nothing to do with them, but yet and all, the Jewish Messiah took 2 days amongst them to preach the gospel, and I'm sure there was a bit of healing done there, and there more than one or two miracles, but people got saved and people got right. 2 whole days, they actually begged for him to stay. And it wasn't that very long ago I was thinking on the maniac of Gadara, where Jesus healed this madman possessed with a legion of devils, and they wanted him to go in another land that was traditionally separated from the Lord, from the preaching of the gospel. But anyway, 2 days later, this is where we come into our little portion of the scriptures. And the people have heard about Jesus, and they're pretty much waiting for him, as they did a number of times in one account in the gospel after he came back from, I think it was walking on the water, and from Gadara, that the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years was healed by him, and Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, and we'll mention those in just a little bit. He came back, and there was a nobleman who had a son that was very, very ill. And he must have heard, because he was a day's journey away. He knew Jesus was going to be about. And he went and searched him out and begged him to heal his son. And it was at this point that Jesus said, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And I have a notion that sometimes we need to see something greater than what man can do at work in the world. And I know that God knows that we needed to see that as a creature. We needed to see amazing things happening, but more than that, to know that those amazing things worked hand in hand with the gospel. If you were to go to the end, the last verse or two of Mark, you don't have to go there. I don't mind reading them out to you. The last verse or two of Mark says, "This was so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs, following signs and wonders." In other words, miracles. And that's where we get the accounts and the likes of Acts and the very early parts of the New Testament of the disciples being able to do miracles, raising the dead and healing the sick and one thing and another. The Lord was saying, these miracles, these signs, these wonders that I do, they are my confirmation that the words that these men speak are my words. So we need to pay attention. The great thing about it is that after his son, by the word of God, and it's interesting to know this wasn't just written down by some bloke. This nobleman actually went and told John. "John, the day that you guys came back from and were from Samaria and were speaking to the woman at Samaria, I went and begged the Messiah to save my son, and he did. It took me a day to get there, and it took me a day to get back. But do you know what? He was healed the very moment that Jesus commanded for him to be healed. And do you know what? He's given us so much. I'm going to trust him with my life." And the word of God says that he and his whole house believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did. Now, I know it's not a miracle that makes a difference in people's lives. It's not a turning of the water into wine. It's not a walking on the water. It's not the casting out of a legion of devils that really makes a difference. Sometimes it's only a word. A word or two, like Nathaniel. "Before your brother called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree." Who knows what was going through Nathaniel's head? It was just a few words. It was Peter that said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life, Lord, where else are we going to go?" And I got to thinking about just exactly what is a miracle that it makes such a big difference in our lives.
for in the lives of these people here. And I didn't look up, you know the way a lot of people will Google what a miracle means. I have not Google explanation, but Mark's explanation. And I pretty much put it down to something that has no simple or earthly explanation. It is beyond our comprehension or beyond our ability to do the things that God has done. And then I got to thinking, along with every miracle, something changed from one thing into something else. And the Lord kept doing them. This mentions at the end of our little portion the second miracle that Jesus did, but we have the first miracle where he changed the water into wine. And it was an example of who he was and what he could do, and we ought to pay attention. If we go on, the water obviously was changed into a wine, a fresh wine that brought the people at the party to their senses. And they realized what had been done. It was the best wine they'd ever tasted. Again, wine does not automatically equal alcohol in the New Testament. It is referred to in the Bible as on the vine as the actual grape. So the freshly pressed grape of the vine, or indeed, sadly, the strong wine or the strong drink, the alcoholic version, the stuff that's been left to rot and turn to alcohol. But there were lives saved in the Bible, and they made tremendous differences to people. If anyone ever asked you, tell me someone whose life was saved or were raised from the dead, immediately we think on Lazarus. Mary and Martha and Lazarus that lived in Bethany that Jesus went to visit a lot. People knew he went there. And as a result of his being saved, many people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, so many believed on the Lord that there was actually a contract out in Lazarus as well. They would have killed him if they'd had a chance. Do you remember the widow woman's son? Her son was being born out of the town to be buried, and Jesus came and raised him to life. Remember Jairus' daughter? We spoke about her just a moment or two ago when Jairus came running up to the Lord, begging and pleading for him, come and make my daughter well. But in the time that the Lord delayed and dealt with the woman with the issue of blood, she died. And he raised her to life. He just said she's sleeping. Similar episode to this was the Roman centurion's servant. And he said, look, you don't even come, just give the word and my servant will be made well again. We have the nobleman's son that we just read about and Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick and the Lord touched her and made her well and she got up and started ministering to them. Many souls raised to life and healed. What, do you remember the man that was dropped through the roof? Because they couldn't get near him for the crush because everybody else was bringing, heal this, fix that, cast out that demon. There was no space and they dropped him down through the roof. The impotent man at the pool that didn't have anybody to put him in the water when the angel troubled him. Jesus healed him. Remember blind Bartimaeus that cried out to the Lord, Lord, heal me. And people wanted him shut up because he was getting in the way of the Savior. But that's what the Savior came to do. And the other blind men that came to Jesus and begged for their sight, the deaf that were brought to him, and he made them hear, the lepers that were cleansed. The legion of demons that was cast out of one man and the legion of demons that were cast out of the legion of people that came to visit, that came to Jesus for healing. Remember the number of times he healed people in the synagogue on the Sabbath day? The man with the withered hand, the man that couldn't walk. Remember the fish that hopped into nets when their whole I'm sure no fish ever planned to hop into a net. But these ones were commanded to hop into nets, and nets that were empty, no matter what men did, were filled whenever Jesus spoke a word. Or the one that even hopped onto a hook with a penny in its mouth to pay Jesus' taxes. Things that were just crazy. And yet, the scribes and the Pharisees,
the Herods and the Pilates, and many, many people still did not believe. Because I do believe that even should Jesus come down even now and speak to people and touch people. I remember the words of an acquaintance, a friend of mine. And I said to him, if the Lord came down and solved your financial problems right now, what would you do? And immediately, his mind was on, I would book a couple of weeks off and I would just go away on holiday and shower my head. I would pay off my car and there was no mention of God. Because no matter what God does for someone, unless someone makes room in their heart for God, God can't work there. God is not a bully that is going to grab you by the lapel and force you to work. He says, this is the reason why we need to. It's better for you, it's better for other people, it's the mansions in heaven will be filled with people when we let God in and when we let God work, whenever we put our shoulders to the grindstone. As a lost fool, 38 years ago, the stupid things that we said, it was a year or two before, the Lord brought the woman that led me to the Lord across my path. And I remember that Sunday used to be the busiest day in the hotel. We used to literally have to go out and lock the doors to stop people coming in. They would come in to eat. They would come in to eat pub grub and drink. And it would be packed. And I remember standing outside and saying, not even God himself is getting in. Now the doors are locked. The stupid things that we say. There are people that are ready to listen to God. And they have questions in their heart and they know that stuff is missing. And a miracle is not the thing that, it's just the final brick in the wall. It's the final little bit of confirmation that all of their thoughts and all of the convictions that God has been given them and all of the words of that God has preserved for us, they're actually for real. It's just a confirmation. What did it say at the end of Mark? Confirming their words with signs following. That's what God said. It's a confirmation only. How does it apply to people? But because people's what it's all about. Whenever we turn on our TVs and whenever we go to the cinemas and we watch the latest Hollywood blockbuster, it's full of miracles. Things that we see there, our mind knows are not real. People flying, people with, all the superheroes and the horror movies and the special abilities and the incredible strength and the quite literal miracles that people can do. We are conditioned. We know. Years ago, my dad used to say, it's only tomato sauce, it's not real blood. Now we say it's a computer that makes it real. It's not real, but the computer makes it real. And if Jesus came back now with signs and wonders, people are automatically conditioned not to believe. It's a gimmick, it's a trick. Someone's trying to take advantage of it. But how, as Peter said, does it affect people? Does anyone remember Mary Magdalene? The Bible says, out of whom was cast seven devils. She turned from a harlot to a disciple of Christ. Do you remember we mentioned already Peter too, who after everybody else was walking away, he hit the nail in the head and he says, there's nowhere else for us to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Not the miracles of convincing. No such thing. He said the words of eternal life, not the power of persuasion, the words of eternal life. Do you remember the rich young ruler? Do you remember how he went away grieving after the Lord, loving him, looked on him and said to him, your problem is you love money and you love money more than anything else. You're going to have to make it your servant instead of your master.
And he went away sorrowing because the rich young ruler knew that the money had a grip on him, that things and stuff he loved more than God. And Jesus said, after the disciples asked him, who can be saved? Jesus said, look, it's impossible to save yourself, but not with God, because with God, all things are possible. If we were even to look around today, the fact that we can, I was going to say, this bit might sound like an old service from maybe a decade or two ago. The fact that we can walk around pretty much unmolested in this day and age, that is a miracle, because that is God's word at work, where it says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Most of the laws, that the good laws that we have in the world today, are based on the word of God. Although we can see that these laws that were designed to stop people eating each other alive, and people are, friends, we see the effects even in Northern Ireland of people ignoring God's word. For we have been forced to adopt abortion. We have been forced to adopt gay marriage. And the people think, oh, we are advanced and we are enlightened and we don't have to be beholden to God's laws anymore. Those are only for the old-fashioned folks. We're beyond that now. One verse of scripture that knocks that in the head, and that's in Romans 1, where it says that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and that is mentioned a number of times in the Old Testament. When we become fools for God and reject the secular wisdom and accept His wisdom, then we will be made wise when we admit that we're fools. If you want a modern day preaching of the gospel, the word of God says, just look around you. Again, in Romans 1, it says, the invisible things of Him are clearly seen through the creation of the world, being understood by those things that are made, that's you and me, so that we are without excuse. The grass that so many people cut every week is what gives us the air that we breathe. The termites that eat the wood, thankfully that we don't have in this country, although we still have woodworm, they can only do that because they have little bugs in their stomach that digest the cellulose and turn it into sugar. They can't have evolved. The bombardier beetle is just worth looking up. All the chemicals involved and giving it a wee machine gun on its back end are just crazy. They can't have been there. The oil that the cars and our boilers and electricity stations run on have to be in the ground less than 10,000 years. Otherwise, they wouldn't come up under pressure. Days getting longer, a fraction of a second every day. The earth slowing down. What did the Bible say about the earth waxing old like a garment? Earth's magnetic field getting weaker. Just like the Bible says. We have these things happening all day and people don't want to look at them. We've had this book for nearly 2,000 years. Albeit, it's been kept off of mankind for most of the last 2,000 years by the Catholic Church and other pagans that don't want the common man to know what God says and don't want the common man to know that most temporal religion in this day and age is anti-Christian. God filled it with prophecy to prove that it is His book. And the only other elements of prophecy in any other religion that have ever come true is because they've been stolen from the Word of God. The Jews are a nation again. That's the biggest prophecy that this current generation has seen. All of these things are miracles. And yet, because we maybe speak about them so often in church, they become ordinary to us. But let me tell you something, friends. Your salvation wasn't ordinary and it came maybe free to you, but it came at a great price to Jesus Christ. And anyone that gets right with Him Anyone that is prepared to get down on their hands and knees and repent of their sins and ask Jesus Christ to save them will be a new creature. And that is a miracle. We spoke about Mary Magdalene being saved. And instead of being a harlot, of having seven devils and who knows what they convinced her to do in her years of hosting them, she became a disciple of Jesus Christ. She literally held the Savior. She wept and washed his feet and dried them with his hair, with her hair. Instead of going to hell, she ended up going to heaven. And you know what, friends? That makes a difference in people's lives. It is a miracle. You go from a harlot to a loving housewife. From a drunken whoremonger to a faithful husband. From a liar and a thief and a murderer to a child of the King of Kings, to one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the earth. To a shy and retiring wallflower, to someone that won't think twice about preaching the gospel in the middle of the streets. Take someone from being a hateful backstabber into the lover of brethren and lost souls. That would bring a selfish miser and make them a faithful tither and a loving giver. And I'm not just talking about Zacchaeus. I'm not talking about Paul. I'm talking about us today. God makes a real difference. It's a miracle. The difference that God makes in people's lives. It's a miracle, the difference that God can still make in the lives of those that are saved. Over the centuries, there's been a lot of people have tried to come up with a set of rules to make things better. You've heard of Freud and Jung, the great so-called psychologists of years gone by. You have Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, Mao Zedong, and even the current political situation here and now and abroad. And every single one of them tries to change man's basic nature with their own schemes and their own plans. And the only thing that they have, wildly different ways of doing it, but the only thing that they have in common is that the guys that institute the plans get to sit at the top of the pile. And they get to order people around. And they get to have the power of life and death. Hold on over people. That sounds like they want to be God. Because that indeed is what they want to be. Man does not do well with that amount of power. But for all that they do, in the end they only show up what man's true nature really is. And man's true nature is broken, selfish, full of lies and thefts, murders, adulteries, idolatries, temper tantrums, uncontrollability, if that's even a word. A broken creature in need of a loving Savior, and that the only person that has ever delivered on that promise has been the God of the King James Bible. And his son Jesus Christ, and the gift that he leaves with every soul that comes to him, and that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And he'll do it for anyone, anytime, anywhere. A lot of people say, I can't see God. Where's the proof of God? How am I going to believe in God? Well, first of all, he's a real person. And you can't speak to him. The lost, there's many lost people call out to God. But I got to thinking of God a bit like a postie. Especially whenever I lived in Kilfenan. Because the postie was normally around maybe about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Occasionally, in a half dopey state, I would hear the letterbox rattle. And maybe hear the boots clumping on the concrete as he dropped off whatever was coming in from eBay or Dabs Electronics, the latest motherboard or memory or whatever it was. And I would say,
There's the postman. He has left me something. But there were times that I didn't hear that. But yet and all, when I pulled the curtain in the hallway, there was stuff sitting because the postman had been. In the times of really bad weather, like the snow, I would see footprints. This fresh snow with a set of footprints coming up to the door and a set of footprints going back to the street again. And I would open the curtains and I would see a little present left from the postman. So even though I never saw him with my eyes, I never got to speak to him, I never got to converse with him, I knew he was real because I had evidence time and time and time again that postmen exist because they keep delivering the mail. Well, do you know what, friends? God exists. He keeps delivering. The fact that we're all still alive, the fact that the lives and the paths that we have taken have preserved our lives to be here to this point is proof, first of all, that God exists. All of the things that we mentioned, the creation, the prophecy, the changes in people's lives, is proof that God exists. The question is, are we going to believe? Are we like these, like many times Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said to the people, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But God has given us signs and wonders. He keeps giving us signs and wonders. He keeps proving himself to us. The miracles are there. If we would just take a moment to look. And they'll do one of two things. They will bring you to the foot of the cross, or they will confirm your presence on the solid rock. But it's time to believe. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, ask him. He loves you to bits, and he wants you to be adopted into his family. He wants to be able to call you son, and he wants for you to be able to call him dad. If you are saved, maybe it's time to walk a little bit more closely. In years gone by, you learned the trade of your dad. Isn't that the way it used to be? Hence the name porter. Hence the name fisher. Cobblers and blacksmiths and things. Their names revolved around their trade. And do you know what, Christian? The hint is in the name. It's time to be a good Christian. Time to believe, time to trust, time to obey, time to pray and preach and teach, all that good stuff. Because God is real. He's working in the world today. He's working in people's lives today. And it's time for us to throw our lot in with him. He wants the very best for us. And he certainly knows that this life is temporary. But there is an eternity to be gained. If you have it already, amen and good for you, but I am sure you know folks that don't. I don't know what needs to be done for those folks, but the Lord certainly does. And if you're the one that's walking and talking with them every day, He will give you what it is that they need to come to know Christ as Savior. But ask Him. One of the things that was instrumental in giving me a good shake before I got saved, I was walking down a little ramp towards a wooden building like this in Glengormley. And I remember walking down the ramp and being a scientist and being a cynic. Isn't there a show me state in America? What's the show me?
Missouri.
I was a Missourian. That sounds like it come from another planet. I was a Missourian and I was always proving God. And I said to God as I walked down that little ramp, I never told anybody, even Jeannie Hopper, that was her name. Even her that was reaching out to me and proving to me time and time again the difference that God makes in the life of a drunken harlot. He changed her completely. I walked down the wee ramp and said, Lord, if you're really up there, just in my head, would you have your servant speak on the subject of, and I can't remember what it was, but I remember holding on to that thought. and walking into the church and saying hello to everybody and just exchanging pleasantries, nothing personal. And he started into the message, and just like I do at the start of the service, we'll read out the reference where we're going to be reading from, and we'll mention the topic that we're going to be speaking on. And I sat there with my arms folded as smug as you like, thinking, yes, see, there is no God. I was a bit disappointed on the one hand, but I was sitting there like a smug git on the other. And halfway through the service, the preacher stopped talking about the topic that he had spoken up, that he had mentioned, and he started talking about the topic that I had mentioned to God as I walked down the ramp. God loves even this wicked old sinner so much, he disrupted a whole service to show me that he loved me and he wanted me saved. And if you ask him, he will do the same for you. And if you are saved, he will help you where you're at if you ask him. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Amen. Let's take our big hymn books again. I think we have one song to sing. It's 200 and... Nope. Let's see.
356.
Yep, 356. I must tell Jesus. We'll do 312 this evening. 356. I must tell Jesus. If you're fit, let's stand as we sing.
I must tell Jesus, I must tell.
God bless you and thank you for your good time this morning. Look forward to seeing you out again at the next appointed time. Please pray for those that couldn't be with us and our brothers and sisters across the world. They certainly need it. We certainly need it. Amen. Well, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, please?
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service, Lord, and stir up our hearts, Lord, and stir up our minds and our souls, Lord, and draw us closer to you, Lord. We're for some brethren, both Christy and Marcus, and the Master, give them protection against robbery, theft, murder, and all other bad things, Lord, keep them from it, Lord. And aid their, and affect their entry into the U.S., Lord, help them with their results on the COVID-19, Lord, and the clean cost of health, Lord. I pray that bless the people that are going to the service and the States, Lord, pray for them to keep them, Lord, and safe care and Lisa, Lord, and their family, Taylor, Ralph, and bless them as well, Lord. Bless this day, Lord, provide for us and keep us, Lord, may it be a day full of blessing, Lord. Draw us closer to thee, Lord, and provide for us and keep us, Lord. And Lord, pray for the churches throughout the land, throughout the world, have yet to occur, Lord, and those that have passed away, Lord. Bless the people that have been to Christ-centered services, Lord, that they may be brought close to Jesus, Lord, and even those that are lost, Lord, that they may convict those that are lost, Lord, and save them, mighty, by the power of the shed blood cross of Jesus, Lord, shed the cross for our sins, Lord. The pastor said, Lord, provide for us and keep us for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.